Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim today and tomorrow. Brian Weber in early part of next week. Thank you for being here. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. In a few minutes here, we'll talk some hoops with Kurt Heelan from NBC Sports. Brady Papinga, an hour from now, will give us... I'm excited about that interview, too. Brady, former Packer, won a Super Bowl there, was a part of the transition from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. Will talk to us about the ugly drama. It really is ugly in Green Bay. And we'll get into little Kyrie Irving getting a silly and ridiculous slap on the wrist. A bunch of you hitting us up at Jim Rome, jimrome.com, Jim Rome at haveatake.com. You can hit me up, sportswriter, sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. Ken in San Antonio, I'm going to take it, SA tweets, Bill, what kind of idiot doesn't know the extra inning rules? Sincerely, aw, Donovan McNabb. Donovan's my buddy. I like McNabb. He's actually, McNabb is such a good guy. Yeah. Alvin DeLaro is so good at his job. And Garrett Ritt is here. No, I'm just kidding. Garrett Ritt's good at his job, too. I just, I want to lean into it. It is Thursday, right? I guess it's the Thursday vibe has gone back to the normal Thursday vibe. Oh, poor Donovan. Poor Donovan. And we've got from EM4, totally agree that Gruden is a train wreck. He really is. But Aaron Rodgers in Vegas would make him an instant rock star and possibly the most popular athlete in America. I think that's important to him. No, you're right. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, and the thing is, that Raiders team, I think I said no fewer than 11 wins. That Raiders team probably wins 12 games. Remember, 17-game season. They don't deserve it. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you deserve. It just matters what is. Deserve has nothing to do with it. Denver Broncos don't deserve it. I mean, John Elway has gotten such a pass, man, because he's John Elway. I don't want to hear the whole, what was the was it Mike Silver, I think, wrote it for NFL.com, whatever the hell he writes for. Elway won his teams as GM, president of operations, 71 or 77 of the first 100 games. That's Peyton Manning. Been a disaster since Peyton Manning went away. It'd be the exact same thing. And what's crazy is Aaron Rodgers already made a bunch of dudes in Green Bay look good who probably didn't deserve it. Ted Thompson, Mike McCarthy. All right, we'll get back to this. We'll get back to your reaction too. Jim Rome, RomeAtHaveAtake.com, or me, sportswriter, sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. Let's talk some hoops. Things are heating up. It's my buddy, Kurt Heelan, NBC Sports, Pro Basketball Talk. Mr. Heelan, the king of Long Beach, what's up, buddy?
Hey, not much, man. It's like you said, it's getting down to that time of year when the games matter again. Well, I would say that normally they don't matter. This year they kind of do matter, which has been a little more fun.
Yeah, by the way, I screwed it up. I should have gone Lord of Long Beach. I should have like just...
You didn't use the alliteration.
Lean into the alliteration. It's such an easy, cheap trick, and it works every time. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I don't like change, Kurt, and I'm usually pretty skeptical of anything that radically or somewhat radically readjusts how these sports that we cover, talk about, love, or are executed. But the play-in tournament, I think, with all respect to LeBron's anger, has been nothing but a raging success. How do you assess this first year of this new way to figure out the final eight teams to be in the actual best of seven series in the respective conferences?
I don't have a problem with it at all. I think that it has done exactly, like you said, it's done exactly what the league wanted it to do, which is, A, it gave a team like Washington hope. Rather than like, oh, we'll just trade Bradley Beal and tank. Like, no, we're going to keep Bradley Beal. We're going to make a run at this. And they would never have gotten to an 8 seed, but they got into 10. And they're going, they're going to be in the play-in, and they're going to be hot. And they've got to, maybe they get up to 9 because Indiana's in a free fall. But, they got in, and they get a chance. And there's something to that. You've got the Lakers and Portland and Dallas and all these teams, and then same thing in the East with Miami and Boston trying to stay out of the play-in. I think it's added energy to the end of the season, which is exactly what you wanted, because right now, Bill, we were normally pretty bored.
I agree.
We were just like, all right, who's resting tonight? The list of rest, even in a non-injury-filled, compressed schedule year, was just ridiculous. Now there's weight behind these games, and as fans, I think that's ultimately just what we want. We want some meaning to the regular season beyond just a little bit of seeding for the playoffs.
Kurt Heelan here on the show. Kurt, Clippers-Lakers tonight is not exactly going to be the most indicative and significant symbol of excellence in basketball history, but I do think Clippers and where they finish once the postseason roll around and Lakers and where they finish is really interesting for very different reasons. Knowing what you know today, if you had to...
Honestly, right now, today, I would probably take the Clippers only because I feel more confident. A, I think they've played really well for stretches this year. I just feel more confident that they're going to be close to healthy and able to execute the game, you know, what they want to do. And they've played, like I said, this is a good team that's going to be a top seed, and, you know, not top seed, but one of the top three or four seeds in the West. More than I'm confident that LeBron is playing through some ankle soreness and isn't the guy who can get to the rim the same way or chase down a loose ball or make a defensive. I'm not sure that this LeBron chases down Andre Iguodala and makes a series-saving block. Like I don't know that if they don't have that LeBron, if the Lakers can win this year, it's a tougher road. So I'll take the Clippers, but I'm not saying that with some sort of ton of confidence.
You don't want to just lean into Paul George as the sure thing Finals MVP. You're not there yet.
Yeah. You know, funny thing is, he's been, for all the talk of like Kawhi Leonard could get some MVP votes this year, Paul George has, I think, been the better Clipper during the regular season. He's played with a chip on his shoulder. He's played really well. But, yeah, there's with the Clippers and the Bucks are the same way, aren't you? Bill, you're probably with me on this, hopefully. You're going to have to show me in the playoffs. Like, I don't really care what you do in the regular season.
I actually believe in the Bucks more. I'm not. Like, I don't – there's something about – and maybe it's not fair. I don't believe in the Clippers for that exact reason. But I almost – for me, and I think a lot of it's Drew Holiday, and I also just think – Kurt Heelan here on the Jim Rome Show, Bill Ryder filling in. Kurt, for me, I think that I've lost sight of the fact that there was a time where the Pistons could not be able to break through, and then they break through, and the Bulls could disappoint, and then they break through. The Bucks just feel like they're poised to reclaim what used to be the reality of the NBA before really LeBron, and maybe to an extent the Warriors, kind of broke that.
There is I can see that. I think that there is we do this in sports in general, not just basketball. You can't win it until you win it, and then you're like, oh yeah, he can win it. All right, we tend to treat players that way, and it's not totally fair. And I think that the Bucks are certainly in the mix. I need to see the adjustments in the postseason. The two wins against the Nets helped me believe a little more in this sense. It's not just that they beat a Harden-less team, but Drew Holiday was fantastic and played pretty well going up against Kyrie Irving and was able to, nobody's stopping Kyrie, but was able to slow him down. Like, you could see it kind of come together. You could see their offense clicking, and you realize Brooklyn's not really stopping it. James Harden's return is not going to help their defense, Bill. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Bold take. Bold take on.
Their defense isn't going to be that good, and the Bucks can put up points, and you can see the path for the Bucks to do it. I'm still not convinced they can beat a fully healthy Nets team. They're kind of like the Lakers for me. They're the best team if they're healthy, but I don't know.
Here's my thing, Kurt, and you sort of like correct my thinking here or push back or agree, whatever, wherever your head's at. I'm with you on the Bucks. I'm just equally skeptical of the Sixers because Ben Simmons' offensive shortcomings and their history plus Doc Rivers equals my uncertainty. Not sure, just not confident. Yeah. I am utterly a believer the Brooklyn Nets could win an NBA championship and lose a single game on the way or lose in the first round. And I'm sticking. I think the ceiling and the floor are very far apart. The New York Knicks are a great story, and maybe I should believe in that defense and the resurgence of Derrick Rose, and Julius Randle's been great, but I'd be shocked if they made it out of the second round, and I think a series against the Hawks would be a tough one. Speaking of Atlanta, I don't think they're going to win more than one series. The Celtics have been better of late, but not that great. The Miami Heat, it's not the Pacers, it's not the Wizards. I just don't think there's an actual front runner that is reliable in the Eastern Conference.
Isn't that the fun of it, though? I've said this before. I don't know who's coming out. Normally, we'd go into the finals, at best, we'd be saying, well, it's down to these two teams. Like, these two teams are going to meet somewhere. And this year, I do not feel that way at all. I can see a path for the 76ers. I absolutely can see a path, but that path includes the improved Joel Embiid not missing any time in the postseason and him being able, them being able to get him the ball and him being dominant in a way that it's just kind of harder to do with the center. It's a little easier with Nikola Jokic, and I don't think Denver's winning anything without Jamal Murray, but, or I mean, I think they can maybe get out of the first round, but they're not winning a championship without Jamal Murray. But can it's you know he you can bring him out higher and do more with him than I think you can Joel Embiid. We'll see. I mean, Joel Embiid has to be absolutely dominant on both ends for them to have a chance. But if they get Brooklyn, DeAndre Jordan's not stopping him. I mean, nobody's right. really stopping him, but they really – the Bucks are better prepared to slow Joel Embiid. I love Claxton. Claxton's a little bit thin. I'm not sure that he's going to be slowing Joel Embiid inside. Like Brooklyn's going to really struggle to slow Embiid, and that could – that makes that a really interesting series.
Let me ask you this, Kurt Hill. Let's pull back the reality on NBA writer travel. And it doesn't necessarily apply this year, but if it were a normal year, in a normal year, I would look at this. I've always done this. I look at the schedule and I make reservations at the hotel chain with which I've spent 3 years of my life. And I do it in like two, or if I'm feeling really conservative, three cities. Yep. How many cities would you have to lock in? I guess New York is, you cover New York with, Brooklyn and the Knicks, but how many cities do you have to, if you're going to hedge your bets and not want to stay at the media hotel, I mean, six, just to be safe?
No, I'm with you. I've done, it was easy, especially for a while when LeBron was dominating the East, just because the finals dates, for people who don't know, the finals dates are set before the season starts because right. It's such a big international television deal that I could, all right, I'm booking my where I have all my points. I won't do the free ad for them. But
me too. Same place.
Where I have all my points in Miami and then in Cleveland. I knew where I wanted to stay. And, yeah, this year, I think my wife – I don't know if she's rooting – I was going to say she's rooting for me to be home for half of it in Los Angeles, but I don't know. She might be happy to have me out of the house. She might be rooting for Salt Lake just to get me out for more.
It's funny so that I'm rooting to get out of the house, and my wife is rooting for me to be around to help with the kids. Kurt Hillen here on the show. Kurt, I'm going to pat myself on the back here. I'm just going to lean into this.
That's stunning.
I know. It's a shocker. You're not one of the guys, but at the start of the NBA season, I had a bunch of guys on Writer Than You, the name of the program I host in the morning, whose name lived up to this reality. I was convinced, call it a hot take, call it whatever you want. I was convinced the Atlanta Hawks were going to be a top six team in the East and that Phoenix would be a top four team. And I asked many of our very esteemed colleagues, and they, to varying degrees, mocked me on my own show. The water's warm. There's room on the bandwagon. Do you want to get on? And really, I'm talking Phoenix. I think if LeBron's not healthy, man, I think the Suns have as good a chance as a lot of teams in that field.
I'm not sold on the Suns as a deep playoff run yet. I like the way they're built. I like DeAndre Ayton's taken a big leap this year and stuff. It's just, there is a certain, and you mentioned it before, where teams have to, we will expect the Bucks kind of had to learn how to win. I think there is a rite of passage. I think in general, you have to learn how to win in the NBA. And now that transfers a little bit. You can drop LeBron on a Laker team that really hasn't won that much and win, or hasn't won in a while, I should say, and win because the knowledge transfers with him. But I don't – Booker's never been in a playoff series. Ayton's never been in a playoff series. Bridges has never been in a playoff. I'm just not sure that they can make that. And the other problem that they ultimately are going to have in a playoff series, Bill, they got the Portland problem. They got two short guards. And with as good a defender as Chris Paul is, and look, he's an all-NBA player, you get deep enough, you go up against the Clippers, and it's a real matchup problem. So I'm not sold on them in a deep playoff run, but – I will tell you that I thought they'd be a playoff team, but I didn't think they'd be this good. I didn't think they're way better than I thought they would be. And I have to give them credit, and not all to Chris Paul. I think Monty Williams, man, deserves a ton of credit for how far he's taken this team in a couple of years and getting them to buy in.
Is he so Kurt Hillen in a similar surprise to Phoenix being atop or near the top of the Western Conference standings, I'm going to vote again for the NBA Awards. I don't know why I haven't done it in like 3 years, probably because I fell on the Jim Rome show. Not sure. Maybe that's the reason. Makes sense to me. I got to figure it out. Look, we all know who's going to be atop probably the MVP ballot. Right. And I haven't done the research and the calls and all the stuff you have to do to take that appropriately seriously. But sort of gut instinct for me, Kurt Heelan, I feel like Chris Paul, I feel like he's going to be on my ballot. And I know even you can make the case that Booker's quote-unquote the more important player statistically. And I know they went, 8-0 in the bubble last year. But how do you not give Chris Paul a long look, given the fact he shows up and they might be, when it's all said and done, the best team in the Western Conference?
Yeah, I'm with you that popped up in my inbox yesterday, and I'm like, well, now 2 weeks without sleep. I will be sweating third team all NBA like nobody should, and that's just kind of how it goes. It's still a privilege, and I like doing it. I'm with you, Chris Paul. I was added to my list. Jokic is going to win. And there's some other guys. I think Giannis is going to be absolutely should be on the ballot. And there's some other guys who've had good years. But Chris Paul was added to my list of. I gotta do like you said, make some calls, do some more deep dive. Does he deserve? He's an All NBA. He will make All NBA. But is he an MVP ballot level player? Has he lifted them up that much? Despite he has good numbers. I mean, with 16 points a game, and I want to say 8 assists off the top of my head. Those aren't usually MVP ballot numbers, but this might be the exception to the rule because of how we brought them all together.
It's really hard. I mean, Steph, I think, is a really interesting case study in how do you value where a team finishes. And they probably won't, but if Milwaukee finishes first, they could. They finish first in the East or even second. I don't see how Giannis isn't, for me, I'm just talking about me, gut instinct, haven't done the research, haven't made the calls, two or three. I mean, Embiid is really interesting. Oh, man, his absence, to me, underscores his value in a lot of ways.
There's something to that. I think he's missed too many games to actually win it. But Embiid will end up on my ballot because at the end of the day, when he has played, he has been the most dominant player in the NBA. If he had played more games, if he didn't win this, he'd be right in the conversation. Jokic has made a really nice push with Jamal Murray down. And by the way, the other guy, Michael Porter Jr., is going to get some most improved ballot votes. And that guy in New York is going to win that award. But Michael Porter Jr. is going to end up on a lot of ballots because of the push he's made since Jamal Murray went down. And he's really stepped up into that role. But I'm with you, man. Embiid is a guy. There's just a lot more almost philosophical questions about how you want to fill out your MVP ballot this year than most years.
Yeah, no, it's going to be fun. It's really hard. Kurt Heelan, I could do this for an hour, but I don't think I'm allowed to. So I'm just going to say thank you for jumping on here, being on, sharing your wisdom on the Jim Rome Show. And I think we've been saying this to each other for 2 years, but now there's not a pandemic. Well, there is a pandemic, but I'm fully vaccinated.
And I am as well.
If you want to get a beer, it's on me, buddy. Let's do this.
You know what? I was just thinking I was just telling somebody how much I missed seeing writer buddies and friends, from the business around because nobody's seen anybody for 2 years, much like everybody else. I would love to. I'll shoot you a text and we'll. There are some places out here in LA that have beer. I've checked.
Oh, I haven't just checked. I've tested it to make sure everything's okay again and again and again.
You would be the king's tester for me. You'd have to taste it to make sure it's not poison.
I got you, buddy. That's one of the few skills that I have, Kurt Heelan. Thanks for making time, brother.
Take care.
All right, dude. Kurt Heelan on the program, NBC Sports NBA writer, and a fellow voter for these awards. I just want to do a quick, I know you don't care about, or most of you, about soccer. I do. I think it's a good sport. Golf, too, though. There's a bit of a movement of rich people moving into sports in a way that's not good for you and me, and I just want to do using the Jim Rome platform, a little public service announcement, what we got to look out for next year on CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome to the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim. What's going on? Thanks for being here. 1-800-636-8686. RomeandHaveATake.com. At Jim Rome. JimRome.com. You can hit me up. Sports Ryder. Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Several ways to take in the show. Your wonderful affiliate. JimRome.com. Odyssey.com. Watch on CBS Sports Network like my wife Lori's doing. Shout out to my wife. What's up, babe? Love you. So, I'm a soccer fan, got into it in the pandemic. No judgment if you don't care. And let me say this, even though they're my employer, great job by CBS Sports, Paramount Plus, covering Champions League. It was a beautiful thing. I'm a Barcelona fan to watch Chelsea crush the hopes and dreams of Real Madrid. But the backdrop of this, and you probably heard about this, was the Super League. 12 powerful teams from multiple domestic leagues getting together and trying to basically pull a fast one, do their own league, and siphon off major amounts of money and relevance away from Champions League and in some ways their domestic leagues. You should care even if you don't care about soccer, and here's why. And there's another story that's out there that is a part of this. It's the, what is this thing called? The Golf Premier League? Is that the stupid name they've come up with? Where it's the same deal. Folks with a bunch of money trying to basically throw cash at some of the best golfers in the world and take them away. Here is the reason you should care. And that you should, if you can't find outrage because it's not your sport, at least celebrate the outrage of other people. And this is not a shot at rich people. I'd like to be a rich person someday. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's a wonderful goal for all of us. And I live in a community of many wonderful rich people. And they're great. I'm playing tennis later today with a very rich guy. Great guy. However, there is a history in our sports of rich people taking over some of the sports teams, the things in sports we love, and destroying our hopes and dreams. That is not an overstatement. Ask the people in Seattle about the Supersonics, which, by the way, no longer exists. Ask the people in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm not from there, but I went to college there and spent a lot of my time there. The Rams won a Super Bowl with Kurt Warner. They're now here in L.A. You let the folks with the money throw enough money out there and learn they can steal a team. And then if they do this with golf and soccer, learn they can steal a league. It will make its way to the sports you actually care about. Some combination of MLB or the NFL or the NBA. Just let me just give you a scenario, right? Because there's so much money now in sports broadcasting rights that there's the potential, right? Where there's massive amounts of cash, there's massive amounts of greed, and where there's massive amounts of greed, there's going to be arguments on how you split up the pie. Bigger the pie, the more people are like, man, I forget driving a Tesla. I want to own a private island. That's the progression of human ambition. It's part of the deal, man. And there could be a scenario 20 years, 2 years, 10 years from now, where I'll just pick on the NBA. The NBA has a collective bargaining agreement that has to be renegotiated. And maybe the LeBron James and the Chris Pauls of the world, the superstars who are major players in the NBPA, who have a good relationship with Adam Silver, are gone. They're retired. They're on their private island. And maybe they're owners of teams at that point. And it gets ugly and it gets weird and they can't find an agreement. And there's talk about a lockout or a strike, and some similar fund with $20 billion or $3 billion pulls an end around and goes to tomorrow's version of LeBron James and tomorrow's version of Kevin Durant, goes to the top. The Ringer just did a really good top 25 players in the NBA. All you need is to basically get 20 of those guys. You know, here's three times the money that you're making in the NBA. Here's equity in this Super League we're going to start. This will give you negotiating power over the association. You can screw them. And now the NBA doesn't exist in the form that it used to. Same thing, and maybe a more likely scenario is this could happen in baseball. And look, I'm not the president. I'm the furthest thing from the president of the Robert Manfred fan club. If such a thing exists, I would not be welcome at its meetings. I do not think that commissioner does, how would I describe this, a competent job. I don't. But I love the sport and I love baseball. I don't want to see a super baseball league with new ownership and new leadership. This is the direction these things can go. This is what can and will happen if there's not enough outrage, if there's not enough punishment, if there's not enough pushback. So talked about this on my own show, Writer Than You, host that in the mornings before Jim's program, 10 to noon Eastern time, CBS Sports Radio. But this is the Jim Rome Show. It's the most important radio show, sports talk radio show on earth. It is. And so I want to use it, and now I've done so, to just tell you that the Super League drama is not as far away as you think it is on the other side of the pond. And this ridiculous idea of the Golf Premier League is not as unimportant as you might feel if unlike me, you're not a golf fan. It matters. It's significant. It's problematic. And if there's not a stop put to it, it will happen again and again and again. Because think about how much money, wealthy people have made buying and owning sports teams, right? And by the way, including the Thunder, who moved that team to Oklahoma City. And I have mixed feelings because my brother is born in Oklahoma City. I lived there as a kid. I love Oklahoma City. It's one of the great fan bases. It's a great market. But that doesn't change the injustice. It's sports. I got it. But the sports injustice to Seattle fans. Well, folks have realized I can go take a team and I can do whatever I want with it and I can make money. Why not just take the whole thing? Why not just buy the whole league? Why not just create your own league? That's what's going on. And it's a danger. All right, phone number here on the show, 1-800-636-8686. We got a bunch on the line, and I need to get to these calls because it's not my show. It's Jim's show. You're the folks that listen to it. I'm just a lucky enough person to be able to come in here when Jim's not here and have this opportunity. We'll get to these calls. We'll take them. We'll get to your reaction on Twitter, 1-800-636-8686. Rome at haveatake.com, at Jim Rome, jimrome.com. I'm Bill Ryder, filling in for Jim. All that coming up, your calls, your reaction, just after we get a CBS Sports Radio update from Erica Hershkowitz. CBS Sports Radio. Sport.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you, filling in for Jim. I'll be here tomorrow as well. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. 1-800-636-8686. Rome at haveatake.com, at Jim Rome, jimrome.com. I'm on there too. Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. I see many of you have hit me up on the old Twitter, and I eagerly await looking at those tonight or tomorrow night and responding. I promise I will. Even those of you that are mean, I got you. Appreciate you listening. Let's take some calls. It is Matt in L.A. Matty, what up, buddy? You're on the Jim Rome Show.
The West Sider Rider, from Bruce's Beach to Belarus, from Highland Avenue to Helsinki. You're welcome. The CBS Sports Net. With the Bill Westsider Rider spelling Jim Rome today. How the hell are you doing, Bill?
I'm better now. I'm doing great, man. What's going on?
Hey, well, real quick, I want you to reset the old Rajon Rondo saga for those clones that don't know it. But, you know, I wanted you to take solace in the fact that I heard you saying, should you take stock in that sweep of the Dodgers by your beloved Cubs? Absolutely. That is high-end stock, because that's going to be the last time that the back-to-back world champion L.A. Dodgers are swept this year, Billy. So really relish the moment. And to all you Clipper fans and NBA pukes who think that the Lakers are not going to do it, do the same thing tonight if the Clip joint can actually pull out a win now that it's getting closer to May. Or it is May, I should say. Because same thing, back-to-back champs, L.A. Lakers, they're going to be looking back on this downstretch as nothing but a bad memory. Hey, I got one more for you, Billy. You know, you've been pimping these bums of the week, and you're doing your thing. Beating out Drizzle in Omaha and perennial vagrant powerhouse Ira Craig, though, for bum of the week, is the Dodgers bullpen. You boys need to get your heads out of your ass and start pitching, damn it. Dave Roberts is doing one hell of a job, and you guys are leaving him out there to dry. That's all I got for you, Billy.
Thanks, Matt. Matty referencing on the show I do in the morning, Writer Than You, every Friday, second to last segment, we crown someone the sports bum of the week, and I enjoy it immensely. All right, very quickly, the story that Matt's talking about is a moral dilemma that I had. This actually happened 3 or 4 weeks ago. I live in a community in the South Bay in the LA area where basically there are these little tiny houses that are nice. People buy the houses, they tear them down, and they build these three level up and two level down monstrosities, right? Huge homes. So there are people like me that live in a nice little shack of a house where I love to raise my family. It's a great little spot. And I'm just surrounded by millionaires in huge houses. And there's a house next to me in a very nice location of the part of LA that I live in that was for rent for an obscene amount of money. I won't say the amount of money, but it's more than most people make a year. And we kind of wondered who was going to move in. And the landlord, who's a great guy, told me that an NBA player from the Clippers was coming to look at it. And he told me what time. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder who it could be from the Clippers. And so at the appointed time, I'm in my back bedroom, and there's like a back street in the back where you kind of pull in, and I heard a car, and I heard voices, and I just looked out the window, and there's Rajon Rondo. And he gets out, and he goes with the realtor, and basically he goes through the house, and we're in the front. So we go to the front yard, we hang out a lot, and Rondo comes out front, presumably with, I guess, his wife, and they're looking around. And the question was, I don't have any issue with Rondo. I don't really know Rondo. But I don't have a good relationship with the Los Angeles Clippers. I've been accosted in a Starbucks by a former, I think he was a VP. VP, like, grabbed my shirt. It was a whole thing, a whole deal. And I had the Clippers erroneously lie and say that my reporting on DeAndre Jordan's frustration with Chris Paul back in the day wasn't true, because the PR people that worked there, and one who still did, were cowards who wouldn't tell the truth. And when my report became true and I called the person, including the PR guy there now, wouldn't pick up the phone. And in my mind's eye, I had, you know, just hid in his bedroom and shook with the fear of someone who's a fake tough guy, and so on and so forth. I have not had a good relationship with Chris Paul. I like Steve Ballmer. I think he's great. But I've not had a good relationship with the Clippers, and that organization doesn't love me to the point where today, maybe it's a coincidence, but I lived in LA before and had a house that I rented, moved to New York, and then, you know, moved back, and I'm in this new house. And by coincidence, the guy that lives in the house now, the guy that rents my old house, is a big shot with the Clippers, and I can't get my mail from him. Forget getting the call. I tried to get a coffee. The guy won't get back to me. I can't get my mail. It like goes to a friend, and then I get it like a month later. If you're listening, sir, I'd like my mail. So the point is, do I tell Rajon Rondo, do I reach out to his agent of the Clippers and just say, hey, it's me. We don't really get along. Because if Rondo moves into my neighbor, I'm going to talk about it on the radio. I'm going to name it. I mean, it's just like, and I understand, actually, I do. You go to work, you go to the game, it's free, it's all free, it's all fair. I can criticize a basketball player, and they can, you know, have their cowardly PR people feed lies on a radio station that no longer exists. Got it. It's all in the game. No big deal. We can do that. That's fine. We can do that. But it's his house, and it's his private space, right? But I incorporate my life into my radio show. I talk about the things that, you know, Steve Nash walks by and my kid tells him to do something anatomically impossible to himself because he mistakes him for the neighbor that's a jerk, which happened. I'm going to tell that story on the radio, and I'm going to apologize to Steve Nash on the radio. Well, we're trying to figure out what to do. The conclusion we came to, I think it was the wrong one, was don't tell him, and just it's radio content. Luckily, Rajon decided not to move in. But that is what Matt is referring to. Feel. By the way, also could have pulled a Step Brothers thing, right? In some alternate universe, Rondo and I look at each other, and I go, "Did we just become best friends?" And in, like, you know, one of those universes, at least, if there really is a, you know, infinite multiverse string theory proponents, the answer is yes. But it didn't happen. A very nice guy who climbs Mount Everest for fun moved in instead. What's with all these overachievers? All right, Bill Ryder filling in for Jim Rome, 1-800-636-8686. Let's go out to Chapel Hill. Barry, thank you for listening. Appreciate you. You're on the Jim Rome Show.
Bill, thank you for having me on again. I may live in Chapel Hill, but I'm a long-suffering Cleveland Browns fan. And if Mr. Gutekunst called me today from the Packers and offered me Aaron Rodgers for Baker Mayfield straight up, I would get the deal done before he could hang up the phone. We are looking to win now, not down the road. Would you make that deal?
Not only, Barry, thank you for the phone call from Chapel Hill, where, by the way, I spent 3 wonderful weeks as a high school kid one summer. Not only would I make that deal, I would throw in a first-round pick. In a heartbeat. Aaron Rodgers just won the MVP, okay? Tom Brady just showed us not just how age doesn't limit quarterbacks at the time, at the age we once thought, but the motivation of leaving a team that I saw what that looks like. It looks like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers having a parade. It looks like Tom Brady in a boat throwing the most cherished trophy in sports because he's had a few drinks to another boat. Yes, absolutely. And I think Baker's a really good quarterback. I think there's so much potential there. It's actually a trade that would make sense for a lot of folks, except for Aaron Rodgers. My guess is Rodgers doesn't want to go to Cleveland. He wants to move west. His fiance is a very well-known actress. He has interest in Jeopardy. He wants to be in Hollywood. But, yeah, man. How many teams are there really in the NFL that you wouldn't make a concerted effort and give up a lot to get Aaron Rodgers? You wouldn't do it if you're Tampa Bay. You wouldn't do it if you're the Chiefs. You wouldn't do it if you're, I think, Buffalo and the Chargers, because those guys are young and you know the direction they're going. The whole Deshaun Watson thing is ugly. No one's going to touch Deshaun Watson. So you just take that guy out of the equation. I don't know, man. Russell Wilson for Aaron Rodgers? I'm surprised that Rodgers didn't put Seattle on his list. It's pretty far up there, but still. I think there's almost no teams that you don't at least entertain trading for Aaron Rodgers if Aaron Rodgers wants to be a part of that organization. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim Rome, 1-800-636-8686. Rondo, if you're listening, you're welcome. Actually, not you're welcome. I didn't tell you. But you did dodge a bullet there. Let's go to Billy in Toronto, who's got a beautiful name. He's in a beautiful city. Billy, what's up, brother? You're on Jim Rome Show.
How you doing, Bill? Yeah, I'll get to Aaron Rodgers in a second. Three quick points I want to make. First of all, the NHL fight that happened with New York and Washington, and everybody can't believe. That's a normal Saturday night in the NHL. First of all, I think the $5,000 fine was just perfect. Matter of fact, I think it was about $4,990 too much. I mean, seriously, Tom Wilson took it easy on Panarin. Once he knew that it was Panarin on the ice after he threw him off his back, I mean, the glove stayed on. He kind of poked him a little bit, ragdolled him a bit. But if he wanted to hurt him, Bill, he would have took off his glove, wound up from right field, and Panarin would be in that next week by now. I mean, seriously, I thought that was really overblown of what happened. Number two, Tony La Russa, what has happened to you? I mean, seriously, were you not the smartest guy in the game once? Were you not the lawyer baseball manager? I mean, are you still drunk from that famous phone call that police pull over where you couldn't remember the alphabet? I mean, my God, it's the Southsiders that are going to be carrying you, Tony, to a World Series. They're up and coming, but it's certainly not going to be you, man. You have lost it. I think your next phone call shouldn't be a baseball decision. I think it should be to AA. Seriously, you just sound awful. And number three, here's where I got to disagree. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, you are a whiny crybaby as far as I see it. I mean, for 2 years, you were hurt almost every game, complained that you were getting sacked. The worst look I've ever seen on the sidelines of a quarterback. And now that you have a good year, everything's hunky-dory. First of all, you have won one Super Bowl in your career. And your team seemed to do pretty good last year drafting a quarterback in the first round. Do you want another weapon? Sure. But I can see the general manager doing what he did. Absolutely. You're going to go to Jeopardy. Go ahead. Take it. Go ahead and take that job. Get out of the game if that's what you want. But there's a certain guy that wears number 12 that if he had have ran instead of throwing a terrible pass and ran for the touchdown, you may not have gotten it, but you would have been on the 1, 2, 3, or 4 yard line, and I'll guarantee you for sure that they would have went for it in that situation. I'm tired of Rodgers' act. Go, you know, Green Bay.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
It's my favorite part of the show. And I appreciate you listening. The look on Elvin's face is the best part of the... I just need like a cam. Just like a... Oh my. Well... You came close. Didn't quite get there. Here's the thing about Rodgers. Is he a crybaby, self-absorbed, calculating, thin-skinned diva? Maybe. I don't know. I think it's certainly, if you're going to put together a poll of possible outcomes that are reasonable realities, it's on the list. I don't think it's significant to what we're talking about. It doesn't matter. He's talent, man. He's talent. And I know he's won one. He has carried that organization. Think about how bad the Packers would be without Rodgers. And it's a really interesting situation for the Packers because they're one of the more storied franchises, not just in history, but over the last, I mean, not even 20, more than 20 years. Favre to Rodgers created a run of excellence and dominance, at least in their division, and only one Super Bowl win for each of them. But they make NFC Championship games on a fairly regular basis. They almost always make the postseason. If they don't, it's because Aaron Rodgers is injured. I think he gets to act however he wants. Life isn't fair, and I'm not making an assessment on Aaron Rodgers. I don't know him. I'll ask Brady Pepenga. I'll ask Brady. But it doesn't matter if he's a good guy or a bad guy. That, unfortunately, doesn't correlate to excellence. And there are guys that are good guys who are bad teammates. I think Kevin Durant's an example. I think Kevin Durant, I don't know Kevin Durant, but I know James Harden a little bit better. Harden, by all accounts, is a pretty good guy. I think KD's a pretty good guy. But that doesn't mean that they're necessarily good teammates. Certainly in Harden's case, it's never translated to excellence. Aaron Rodgers is never the problem, ever the problem in the postseason. And the Super Bowl they won in part, the defense was good that year, because of Aaron Rodgers. Remember, he guaranteed they were going to get in, they got in. And that Super Bowl win, they had to beat the Bears, I think at Lambeau, but they had to win Week 17, and then they had to go to Chicago and win the NFC Championship game against a Bears team that we thought was good. Now, in retrospect, they had Jay Cutler, and that guy, what's the word I'm looking for, sucked. But the point is, Rodgers got it done. I don't think Rodgers is the problem, man. He might be the problem personality-wise. Too bad. Deal with it. So, by the way, Tom Brady was clearly a diva. You better trade Jimmy Garoppolo. Now he's in Tampa Bay, and that diva just won another Super Bowl. That's the deal. That's what you get to be. All right, we got some more calls. Well, stick with us. We'll get to you. 1-800-636-8686. Bill Rutter filling in for Jim Rome here on the Jim Rome Show. Brady Pepenga, friends with Aaron Rodgers, played for the Packers under the Favre and Rodgers eras, won a Super Bowl. I'm going to ask him, is Rodgers a bad guy? Is he gone? What's your insight? He'll know. He's friends with Aaron Rodgers. Brady Pepenga coming up next here on the Jim Rome Show.